Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of our Learning by Ear series, Everyone's Different, Respect for Minorities. Throughout this series, we'll meet various people who are different from the majority of society in the way they live, the way they look, or the way they think. They often face discrimination but continue to fight for their rights. Today we are heading to Botswana to meet a group of indigenous people there. The San, sometimes also called Bushmen, have lived in the central Kalahari for thousands of years. They are even said to have been the first people in Africa. Not long ago though, their government tried to force them to leave their land, but they didn't give in. Instead, they fought peacefully for their rights to both land and water, and they were successful.
My name is Roy Sesana, and I am over 60 years old. I was born here in the Kalahari, just like my grandfather, my father, and my brothers. We live on beautiful land with flat open spaces. It's most beautiful here in the rainy season. Then there are lots of flowers. You people in the city have shopping malls where you can buy everything. Here in the bush, I can get everything too. I can gather roots if I'm hungry or melons, and I can hunt. I would like my great-grandchildren to live and die in this area.
Roy proudly shows me around the place where he lives. Molapo is the name of this little settlement of huts in the middle of the Central Kalahari Game Reserve National Park. It's dry and windy, and the fine sun blows into our eyes. Roy invites us into his hut. He's happy to be living here again. It's something he had to fight long and hard for. In 1997, the inhabitants of the national park were forcibly relocated. The government of Botswana claimed that the protection of animals in the national park could not be guaranteed if there were people living there. Roy and other political activists appealed repeatedly against the decision, and in 2006 they won their case. The indigenous people were allowed to return home. It was a great success for the San, and the case attracted worldwide attention. But as Roy explains, their problems did not end there.
Even though the court made it clear that we lawfully are allowed to live on our land, the government still troubles us. We are hunters, but there's not a lot to hunt. They promised us special hunting licenses, but we never got them. They don't even provide basic services like water. We ended up getting water by taking the government to court again.
The piece of land where Roy and his family live is huge. The national park is about the size of Rwanda and Burundi combined, and there is very little water, especially in the dry season. The inhabitants were allowed to return to their homeland, but the government forbade them from digging wells. The San went to court again, and in 2011, they won that case as well. The government accepted the verdict, but it wouldn't help build any wells. That was done by NGOs and by the mining company Gem Diamonds. Wells were dug in several places, including Molapo. Jumanda Gabelebone has been fighting alongside Roy for years for the rights of the San people. He indicates a pipe running through the ground.
This is a drilled borehole by Gem last year. Unfortunately, it did not bring some nice water. If this borehole really gave some water, people's lives going to be changed, because then we also accept to have a lot of people coming back to their land, and then that's going to stop people from having some troubles on dry season.
Four boreholes were drilled in the national park, but only in one place was the water fit to drink. And that place is more than 100 kilometers from Molapo, too far for those who live in the settlement. So they still have to collect enough water in the rainy season to last them throughout the year. Stilo Tekizo is sitting on the ground near the borehole in Molapo taking a break. He's in the process of putting up a fence around a field to prevent animals eating his crops. Like most of the inhabitants of Molapo, Stilo is wearing a t-shirt and trousers, not traditional garments. Stilo used to be a hunter, but the government has made hunting illegal. At least he was able to return here after being forcibly relocated.
Life was very difficult for me. I was not familiar with the area there. When I'm here, I can at least go out and dig for roots and grow some crops to eat. But in the other area, that was not possible.
Stilo and his wife Motahadi Mwaputi liked the traditional life, and they see their futures being in Molapo. They were very happy when the court allowed them to return to their homeland. At last, says Motahadi, they were able to leave New Kadi, the place they were moved to. The mother of four is sitting on the ground in front of her hut with the other women from the settlement.
The lifestyle in New Kadi was different and difficult for me. That's why I came back. Just one of my children stayed there. I really miss her. But I don't know how I'm going to make her come back here.
Fewer than half the people who were forced to leave have returned to the national park. Those who have returned are mostly old people and young children. Stilo and Motahadi's 18-year-old daughter stayed in New Kadi. To find out why, I head for New Kadi, one of the three resettlement camps. It's a six-hour drive to the village, which is outside the national park. Here, the government has created a functioning infrastructure, a hospital, schools, and houses for officials. The relocated son live in traditional huts. It's in one of these that we eventually find Bankaneti Stilo. She's been living here with her grandmother for a year now. She doesn't look like a village girl. She's wearing modern army trousers and a trendy top. But Bankaneti mumbles, embarrassed, that she does want to go back to her village Molapo sometime. It doesn't sound very convincing. She doesn't talk much, but she does say that all her friends live here in New Kadi. The story of Bankaneti and her family highlights the problems that threaten the life and culture of the San today. It's very difficult to incorporate the traditional ways of hunter-gatherers into modern life. In New Kadi, the San from Molapo experienced a new way of life. They went to school, got used to having water anytime, and bought groceries in a shop, but many couldn't cope with the change. Mabele Owa is one of them. The old man was forced to relocate to New Kadi, but he definitely doesn't want to go back and live in the national park.
I used to be a hunter. Here, I don't really have anything to do. I just hang around with my friends and we drink. There is nothing I can do to say, this is for my future, or this is for my life or my children. I was forced into this kind of life. So now I have given up.
All of his family have gone back to Molapo, but Mabele is an alcoholic. He starts drinking his illegally brewed beer fasting in the morning, and is by no means the only drinker in New Kadi. Many people try to drown their problems in alcohol, but blaming the government for all the problems is too easy. Botswana is rich in natural resources, and unlike in many other African countries, the elites here have not just made money for themselves. They've also invested in the development of the country. The intention is for the son to be given access to education and health services as well. And of course, this is easier if they're living in the resettlement camps, not scattered across a national park. Roy Sesana, the activist from Molapo, knows this. But for him, education and homeland are of equal importance.
I would like my great-grandchildren to live and die in this area. For that, we need schools here, where they are taught in their own language. They have to be taught their own culture. And at the weekends, they can learn from their mothers about our cultural activities, and their fathers can teach them how to hunt. We don't want to lose our culture. It's very important to us.
Roy would like his children to get to know both worlds, the one inside the national park and the one outside. Then they can decide for themselves where and how they want to live. This is something for which the 60-year-old activist will continue to fight, as he's been doing all his life.
Oppressed peoples must stand up and fight for their rights. Land is very important. It's like a mother or father. That's where you're born, grow up, and it makes you what you are.
The words of San activist Roy Sesana end today's Learning by Ear story from Botswana. Our reporter was Adrian Krish. If you'd like to hear the other reports from this series about respect for minorities, visit our website at dw.de/LBE. You're also welcome to join us on Facebook. And of course, tune in next time. Bye for now.